Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Really strong with Ian Cron. I just came on like full force. I was like, listen, you are the Enneagram guru. You've written The Road Back to You, which is the book about the Enneagram that changed my life, my whole family. My sister's a one, which is not a perfectionist anymore. You've changed it to, what is it now? Improver?
The Improver.
Mm-hmm. The Improver. And you said many ones. Thank you for that. So my sister's a one, the Approver, and she got this book because being a one, living in a family with a dad who's an eight, a mom who's a nine, who's a peacemaker, and a sister who's a four, who is like the creative, what are we called? The fours are
romantics.
Yes. So she was like always having needing order and structure, and she's black and white and follows the rules. And then we're all not living like that necessarily. So it was very frustrating for her. And she was frustrated with us a lot because she was like, why is everyone not just doing everything the way that things are supposed to be done? Because doesn't everyone know that there's just like a way to do life? It's like black and white, good and bad. So she read this book and then she started understanding us. And she started like, especially me as her sister. Can you imagine a one having a sister as a four? How exhausting for her. I'm just living in my feelings and like dropping the ball, being moody, all this stuff. And she's trying to, you know, do life according to how it should be done because she knows she's got the rulemaker in her head telling her, you know, here's how life needs to be done. It's always in her head. So we all read this book and we had a huge awakening about ourselves and our family. I'm sorry, this is very long-winded, but I am thrilled to be talking to you if you can't tell because I need you in my life, Ian. You hold the answers.
I'm so delighted, and it's always such an encouragement to hear that people are experiencing the kind of transformation that I think can happen. I have seen over and over and over again that how self-knowledge and self-awareness can completely revolutionize people's lives. And, you know, obviously in the story of you, which is the follow-up to The Road Back to You, so my
right
new
here.
Book, there it is, The Story of You, is really, you know, all about how we can begin to rewrite our broken stories from childhood, now as adults, using the Enneagram personality typing system.
I love that you said, like, I'm misquoting you, but basically, you're like, there's all these billions of people in the world. Is it wrong to think that we can put them all into nine different categories? And you're like, no, actually, it's not. We really all can fit into these nine different personality types. And that was very comforting to me to hear that, because I always worry about locking in to like pouring my whole heart into something, because then I'm like, oh gosh, what if I find out it's wrong and I've invested in this so deeply? But to really feel confident that you can invest in the Enneagram and know that really, for the most part, most people fall into one of these numbers. And then if you can just learn the Enneagram and all the numbers, especially yourself and especially the people in your family and closest to you, and read both of your books, The Road Back to You and The Story of You, if you can like commit to that and understanding, you can have such a deeper, better, healthier, so aware, such an aware, an awakened relationship with the people closest to you. It's mind-blowing. And it makes me feel so comfortable, I mean, comforted to know that we can sink into the Enneagram.
You know, one of the things you said is, you know, how is it possible that on a planet where we've had 7 billion people running around for a long, long time, that there could be only 9 personality styles? But what listeners need to remember is that within each type, there is an infinite number of variations or expressions. So you and I are both fours, the romantics, and maybe in a moment we can just quickly run through all 9 types for people who don't know.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, so you and I express our fourness differently. So it's not like, it's really 9 times infinity. Though we will have some a very meaningful set of similarities. But how you function in the world as a 4 and how I function as a 4 may look very, very different, although very similar in many ways.
Well, because when I first got on this Zoom with you, I was like, oh my gosh, we're both 4s, and you had such an excited face. You're like, yay. And I'm like, oh, being a 4 is the worst. It's so exhausting. And I know that you have flipped your story to where you don't feel that way. But like, I feel like I have worked on myself so much, but I still feel the burden of the world all the time. Like I can't get out of it. It's just everywhere. I feel like this world is so broken and sad that it just like consumes me.
Okay, well, maybe after we go through the types, I can sort of circle in on that thing, that thing that you're struggling with there when we hit the 4s.
Okay, let's do it. So let's start with 1, because there's
okay,
9
and
types.
So there's 9 types, and what I'm going to do as we go along, if it's okay with you, is I'm going to frame these personality styles as stories. Because one of the things, personality types with the Enneagram, great, fantastic. But what I've grown into is this belief that not only are there 9 personality types, but there are essentially 9 stories, one of which we gravitate toward and adopt in childhood, just as a way to feel safe and to cope in the world. Think of it this way. All of us invent self-defeating stories in childhood that eventually cause us significant problems in adulthood. But the good news is that with the help of the Enneagram, we can reauthor the old self-sabotaging stories we tell ourselves about who we are and about how we think the world works. We can free ourselves from the tyranny of unconscious childhood messages and false beliefs. And finally, we can overcome the patterns of behavior that our broken stories produce. So let me just run through these stories and see if folks, they might relate to one, you know, or they might relate to all 9, but I want them to listen for the one that most sounds like them, more like them, right, than the other 8 do, okay?
Quick question. Yes. Do we all write self-sabotaging stories? Does everyone?
Yes.
Does anyone not? Is there anyone who was like born on an island in the sun with like the 2 most joyful hippie parents who have just like abundance of food and love and community? Is there anyone who like is born into that life who just doesn't have a self-sabotaging story or something?
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever met somebody who has?
I don't know. I mean, I've met some people who are very, very happy, but yeah, there's always, when you talk to them, they have pain that they refer to.
Of course. You know, one of the things as a therapist, one of the things I tell people, and I even, you know, former clients, working with addicts, but also just working with regular folks, you know, who are, you know, pretty high functioning, et cetera, is all of us are recovering children. There's just no way. I don't care how charmed a childhood you had. You picked up, you internalized real or perceived messages that, for example, am I lovable? Do I belong? Do you know what I'm saying? Like all of us, and all of us experience trauma, whether it's little t trauma, right? Just complex trauma that goes along, or capital T trauma, right? Significant trauma. All of us pick up beliefs, and it's not just from our parents. It's from our peers. It's from our culture. Like, what does our culture say about women? What does our culture say about people of color? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we pick up cultural false beliefs, familial, from peers, from coaches. I mean, they just come at us from every angle, and they're very sticky.
Media, and so all the media.
Oh, media, my gosh. How about women and weight?
God. You're talking like the earliest time you have a memory as a female that you have. Like, look at a Barbie doll. I have a daughter who's two, and like all these toys that she has, they're like perfectly proportioned to this like dream body. I'm like, that's starting that message so soon. And you see like all the Disney movies, all the beautiful princesses, they have like perfect bodies. Yeah. It
starts. And we pick them up about all kinds of stuff. I could go on and on and on. Right. But let's go through the stories and you'll hear some of them. Okay. So type ones, the improvers, these are honest, you know, conscientious, detail oriented folks. They're self-disciplined, dependable, but the underlying false premise of their story is this mistaken belief that the world only loves and rewards the good people and punishes the bad ones. And if you're trapped in the broken story of the improver, you try to gain love and a sense of control by tamping down your anger and constantly trying to meet your own high internal standards and then seeking to perfect yourself, others, and the world. Now, to be clear, in childhood, each of these broken stories with their false beliefs and internalized messages that support the story, it really helped you. It helped you make sense of the world. It helped you feel safe. It helped you get your needs met. But when you bring that story into adulthood and never rewrite it or change it, you know, people who are improvers get labeled judgmental, critical, shaming, anal, you know what I'm saying? You know, a little too detail oriented, black and white thinkers, as you mentioned earlier, and I can go on and on. And that eventually will begin to damage relationships, begin to isolate you. So the story that worked for you as a little person now starts to work against you in adulthood. That's the message of the story of you is, hey, guess what? Thank the old story for how it helped you as a little person, but you have to rewrite it in adulthood because it's undermining you. So let's move on to twos, okay? So the twos are called the helpers, and people who inhabit this fiction of the helper unconsciously believe that they can't be loved for who they are, but for only what they do for others, meeting others' needs. So it makes sense that for the two, they have to kind of turn a blind eye to their own needs, and helping others becomes their strategy for gaining love and approval.
Yeah.
Right? And so you know who this is. This is, you know, the word we might use for this with a lot of people, could not with all, but some, is codependent. Mm. Right? It's like, you know, I've got to meet everybody's needs and not let anybody know that I have personal needs. And they burn out. Oh my gosh, they burn out, they become resentful.
Resentful. Because they're doing all this stuff for people and they don't feel appreciated.
Right. Type threes are called the performers. You've met tons of these people.
And this is who I'm envious of. Like, my four is envious of type threes a lot because I'm like, how do you do all this stuff? How do you just do it? You just do it all.
And you know what's so funny is that one of the characteristic features or struggles for the four is envy.
I know.
So Forrest used the word envy a lot, right? Comparing themselves to others and then, you know, envying what the other has that they do not. So threes are really accomplishment focused people whose dominant, you know, broken story is based on the mistaken notion that being successful and avoiding failure at all costs is the only pathway to being loved, feeling significant and valued. Type fours, here we go. The romantics.
Yeah, this is us.
These intense people, you and I, our broken story revolves around the misguided idea that we're missing something really important inside that everyone else seems to have except us, and that we'll never be loved and understood or feel whole and welcome in the world until we regain that missing piece. Yep. And so we become addicted to our own suffering. And we kind of seek to shore up our shaky self-image and achieve belonging by appearing special and unique.
Yes. I'll tell you just a quick story about me, then we'll move on to fives. I moved to Nashville to become a singer, to get in the country music industry, because I thought if only I could just become famous and the world could love me, then I could be special. Then I can be validated. Then I can be like truly a lovable person. Because there's something missing inside of me, exactly what you're saying. Everyone else is complete, but not me. So let me go become validated by the world and do something so special that everyone can see, so then I'll be loved. And I've done a lot of work on myself and gotten over that, but that is my underlying fourness. And so it is just crazy how that need to feel special. But like also, with fours, I feel like I had a really good childhood. Like I had parents who were loving. They weren't necessarily like all up in my grill, like hugging, and they weren't like the most like huggy, huggy, huggy parents, but they were like great parents and like good like supporters. So I'm like, where did this come from? This needing to be loved.
So remember, part of personality is not just experience. It's also genetics, disposition, and temperament. And you're just born with that, right? But we can't underestimate the power of the perceived messages, whether our parents were giving us, if your parents give you great message after great message, you will also mistakenly perceive or interpret those messages differently than what they intended. Is that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. By the way, it's very interesting. I did I can't tell you which label it was, but trust me when I tell you, maybe the biggest label in Nashville had me come in and lead a workshop, and for about 90 people, and many of them were tour managers, right?
Right.
And so they, when I hit fours and I described them and I asked them, do you have any questions about fours? 50 hands went up, right? Because they're like
tour
dealing with
four. Oh, artists.
No,
artists.
They're
artists.
Dealing with artists.
Yes.
Because there's a disproportionate number of artists in the creative arts.
Because we now, all need to be special.
Well, that's part of what can make an artist successful, right? So we don't want to get rid of that specialness. We just want to get rid of those parts of it that are now not working for us. I mean, think about the artists. Kurt Cobain would be one, or Janis Joplin, Amy Winehouse. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They never ended well for a lot of different reasons, but they were people whose personality style that they picked up in childhood really hurt them in adulthood, became fatal in adulthood. And, you know, it's interesting, since then, I've worked with a number of well-known artists whose names I can't repeat with the Enneagram, and it's really helped them. You want to move on to fives?
Yes.
Okay, they're called the investigators, and their broken story centers around the idea that the world is intrusive, and it's making demands on them that they can't meet, particularly in the area of relationships. So they protect themselves against intrusion, right? By reducing their own needs. They're often minimalists, right? Observing rather than participating in life, and sucking up knowledge like shop vacs, right? In order to fend off feelings of inadequacy, right? Like fives will often tell me that their greatest fear is that they're stupid and they don't have all the answers. right? And so fives are also the most emotionally distant number on the Enneagram. You've met people like this. Oftentimes, I was in the emergency room with one of my kids once, and I had a doctor who was clearly a five, because he is telling me all this information in medical language about my daughter who's just had a bunch of stitches, and he's talking to me without any emotion connected to the information.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I was like, this guy, I don't even feel like he's in his body. He feels like a brain on a stick. And it's like, that's very five kind of stuff, you know?
Which is totally opposite of a four. So because you're so well-versed in Enneagram, you could notice that. But if you're not, you might take like offense to that kind of person. Because as if you don't understand other people's personality types, you're like, why are you acting like that? You know, when you yes. are so opposite.
Well, okay. And so because I know the Enneagram, one of the things it allowed me to do was not be offended.
Exactly.
It gave me empathy and compassion and understanding toward this person, which also, it also helped me communicate with that person in a way that they would understand.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, if I got all gushy, loaded up with feelings, which fours might be inclined to do, he would have had a very hard time relating to me, become uncomfortable.
Yes. I have turned off so many people by my overwhelming gushiness, like with you. I've done it to you. Like I've came on so strong with you because I'm just like so excited to talk to you and like want to word vomit everything I have in my brain. But like a lot of other numbers are like, get back up, back away. Like this is way too intense. Your personality is absolutely like wearing me out. Like I can't communicate with you. So like how to communicate with numbers. Important.
Yes, very common among fours. Fours are desperate to be understood.
Oh,
and so,
yes.
So one of the things that fours do is they can get on these verbal, it's like a verbal blizzard. They just keep talking because do you understand me yet? Do you understand me yet? Do you understand me yet? And the person gets to a point when you're talking to them sometimes, like it's like, this is just way too much information. Sometimes private information, not private, but sensitive information that you should wait until 3 months into a relationship to share.
Yeah. I overshare everything. And I'm like, but why would I not tell you this? I'm just totally transparent. Like I'm not, it's just life. And a lot
but when you gain self-awareness from the Enneagram and you learn about your broken story, you can begin to dial this stuff back. Mm. And just in the living in the present moment, in the now, you're able to sort of monitor what you're doing, thinking and feeling, and adjust it so that you're relating to people in a way that they can receive, right? So the sixes, they're called the loyalists. Their broken story revolves around the belief that the world is a very dangerous, unpredictable, and chaotic place in which the only way to feel safe and certain, which is what they want, is to be really vigilant, is to always be preparing for the worst, rehearsing in your mind. What can I do to get ready for catastrophe on the horizon, you know, because then I'll feel safe and then I'll feel certain that I'm going to be okay. Now, so everyone's clear, I could write 200 pages on each of these types. So I'm just giving a very fast flyby here.
Yes.
But what I'm also describing is what I describe in my new book, The Story of You, which is these are the underlying premises of the stories. And those underlying premises fuel the dysfunctional ways that we predictably and habitually act, think, and feel from moment to moment on a daily basis. Right?
Right.
Type sevens, you're married to one, the enthusiasts, right?
They're the most fun to be around.
They are. They are when they're self-aware and they've done the work of rewriting their story. Because every type, when it's self-aware, they've done their work, is beautiful. But when they haven't, I got to be honest and say they bang guardrail to guardrail through other people's lives.
Sevens?
Every number. When it hasn't done its work.
Oh, yeah.
And when they have, they become the most beautiful expression of themselves in the world. So every type, when it's not doing their work, is a mess. Every type, when they're doing their work, is on a journey toward transformation. And in the story of you, I actually tell people, here is a very practical way that you can begin to rewrite your story. So it doesn't just describe the broken story. It also gives you a prescription or a journey that you can go on to reauthoring your life. Because, you know, most people think, I'm stuck in this story.
For sure.
Like, there's no way out. These are the cards that were dealt, right? And I just think, no, you know, you are the narrator of your story. You get to decide the story of your life, right? It's not destiny. It's not your fate.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And I think a problem a lot of people run into, which is changing in this day and age, is I know for my parents' generation and previous, my parents are open to it, but like going to therapy, taking a look at your mental health, like realizing that you can rewrite your story, it wasn't really the norm. It was kind of like these, like you said, these are the cards you're dealt, deal with it. Get through your life, don't ask questions, you know, just like make it happen. But now we're realizing we have the ability to change our story, and we don't have to just take the circumstances we were dealt. We can actually rewrite the whole thing. But I don't think people knew they had permission to do that as much as we know now.
Boom. So the reason is that, you know, the word I would use is agency, freedom, right? You know, I have clients who come to see me and they describe their life and they describe what they have described to 20 other therapists. And when I look at them and say to them, you know, your problem is that you're in the wrong story. All of a sudden the light goes on, because all of us understand our lives as a narrative. That's why we say things like, hey, tell me your story. What's your story? Cheesy pickup line, but you know, there's a reason we use it. That's why we say things like, I'm turning the page on this relationship, or I'm writing a new chapter in my life, or we just think about our lives as stories. And when I tell them, you're in the wrong story, they go, oh. And then when I tell them, there's a quote by Mo Willems I use in The Story of You. He says, if you find yourself living in the wrong story, leave. And I love that quote.
That sounds so easy.
Well, it's not. It's a lifetime deal. But as I said, I talk about a four-step process that you can use to begin the journey of rewriting your story. All right.
And I would love you to go through that with us once we kind of wrap these numbers, if you're down. For
great.
That.
Oh, yeah. No problem. So eights are called the challengers.
That's my dad.
Woohoo. So these folks, the sort of the broken part of their life story is they believe that we live in a dog-eat-dog universe where the powerful dominate and take advantage of the innocent and the weak. And so to survive, they believe they have to assert strength and power over people in the environment to mask vulnerability and weakness from themselves and others. So these are the folks that tend to be, you know, this type of person. They're aggressive. They're combative. They love a great debate. My mom is an eight on the Enneagram. I'll tell you a very quick story. She's 93. She lives in assisted living now. She smoked Pall Malls for 75 years. Okay. She is a force of nature. When she walks into a room, you know it, right?
Yeah.
And so when COVID broke out and, you know, it just ran like wildfire through assisted living communities, I asked her on the phone because I wasn't allowed to go in there and see her. I said, well, has COVID attacked you yet? And she goes, it wouldn't dare. That's all eight energy right there. So, but that's also a broken story. And in the book, I actually describe my mother's journey from childhood that explains how she got into that broken story. I don't want my mom to lose that characteristic personality, but I don't want her believing that she has to be so defended and so aggressive sometimes with other people in order to feel safe in the world. I don't want her to keep believing that that vulnerability is the same thing as weakness.
Can you really tell an eight that? Can you get that through an eight's head who's lived that way for a long time? Because my dad is such an eight, and he says all the time, he's like, man, I'm never going to go to therapy because once they crack it open, I don't know what they're going to find in there.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's something your dad needs to be challenged on, because if he thinks that vulnerability and doing the work is weakness, if he equates that with weakness, like somebody's just weak, they need all that help.
I don't think it's a weakness. I think he just doesn't know how long the river will flow, and he doesn't want to like get into it because he's kind of not ever. He was of that generation too, where it's like we're not. You know, you wake up, you're tough, you get your job done, and you know. But he knows therapy's great, and he knows that all that is like really real and good for you. But he just is like, oh gosh, what's going to happen if I peek behind the blinder?
So you know what would help him? And I'll just, we won't go too deep into this, but just as a therapist, if he came in and just shared that anxiety and just said, I'm really worried that, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. A good therapist would just say, well, first of all, that indicates that there's some stuff there that you are either consciously aware of or unconsciously aware of. Not unconsciously aware of, that doesn't make sense, but you can feel it. You can't articulate it, but it's down there. And we're going to take our time, and we're going to do this in a way that, you know, we're not going to flood you so that you're overwhelmed. We're just going to go baby steps, right?
And I think that's a great approach for a lot of people in general, any number that you are, who are scared to get into therapy, because you think, oh my gosh, the thought of it sounds scary because you're going to have to like look into your past and the things that have really been painful, which we all have, that you want to avoid. But if you take your time and you move through it slowly, the freedom you get is the surprise that like, I don't think people realize is coming for them once they do this work.
Yes. So let's finish up with nines. Nines are, I have a nine wife and a nine daughter, so I have a lot of affection for them, but they have a broken story, and it centers around this unconscious belief that the world thinks that their presence doesn't matter really.
Yes.
And so to avoid disconnection, and they really want to preserve inner and external peace, right? They believe that they have to go with the flow, don't rock the boat, avoid conflict, that's a big thing for nines, and merge with what other people want to do. Just roll with it. They merge with the preferences and the opinions and the priorities of others. But in the process, they lose their own selves. They become selfless. Mm. Right?
And not in a good way.
No.
Everyone preaches that all the time, like, oh, be a selfless person. But really, being a selfless person is not really a great thing because you need to know yourself.
No, you want to be a person that is has a really strong expression of self. I think what you don't want to be is a selfish person. But selfless.
Selfless.
Yeah, no.
They mean selfless, but they mean selfish.
Right. And actually, I could argue that a nine, by being selfless, is being selfish.
Interesting.
So anyway, so those are just a very quick run by of these nine broken stories. Everybody is going to have a different way of experiencing them and expressing them in the world. But, you know, basic categories. And so, you know, this is an interesting fact. You know, literary critics will say that there's basically only seven basic plots in film and literature. But there are just a million stories within each of those seven basic plots. And that's what I would equate it to with these nine stories. You know, we just shouldn't be surprised that they're just nine basic stories, right? Anyhow, did you say you want to talk about the four-step process?
Yes, I would love to talk about, because now that we all, hopefully when you heard these quick little blurbs about each number, you can like feel like you can like kind of sink into one, or at least identify some that you feel like you can relate to and deep dive into more. But I think, yes, knowing now what your number is, how, and our fatal flaws of it. Something else too about, before you tell us the four steps, passion. You use the word passion because I do this all the time. I didn't even realize it. Everyone's always like, find your passion, live your passion, do your passion. But really, when you are living your passion, you're kind of living in suffering, right? Can you break that down? Because you talk a lot about that.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So there are two ways to think of the word passion, right? One is, you know, I have a passion for self-improvement, I have a passion for plant-based, you know, diet in my life, for exercise. I love yoga. I have a passion for that. I have, you know what I mean? Like, I have a passion for music. I was a songwriter, here in Nashville before I do what I do now. So, you know, I have passions. Those are good passions. But the Enneagram teaches that each of the nine types has what's called a fixation or a passion that actually fuels the negative story that each tells, right? So for ones, it's anger or resentment. For twos, it's pride. It's this belief that you actually know what other people need even more than they do. For the three, it can be deceit, which is the this in search of, you know, in their pursuit for success. Sometimes a three will present a false persona that they become deceived into thinking that they are the persona versus the mask, right? They're the mask or the persona, but they lose touch with their authentic self. They become deceived. Four, as I mentioned, is envy. For fives, it's what we call avarice, a kind of greed, right, with knowledge and around their personal information and privacy. For sixes, it's fear. For sevens, it's gluttony. They're always, you know, the passion is, I got to fill myself up with more exciting things to do, more fun things to do, more adventures, more escapades, more jokes, more stories, you know.
More.
For the eights, it's what we call lust, but it's not necessarily in the sexual sense of the word. It's like this overbearing lust for life. It's too much. Nines, for the nine, it's sloth. And what that means is it's not physical laziness. It's really a laziness about self-development, spiritual, emotional, psychological development, like investing in themselves to become a full self. So that's the two different kinds of passions. One is great. The other one actually is the source of your suffering. And again, in the story of you, I unpack all that for people.
I mean, it's so, it feels like, even though I've known the Enneagram and read your books and like studied this for a long time, I still, my mind still gets blown because it's so layered. There's so much to each of it. And like understanding not only your type, but then other people's type, and understanding the good passion versus the bad passion, and how to walk in those different stories and change the story, and then how to be aware of other people's numbers and their stories, and like having grace for everyone. It's just, there's so much that mentally we have to like think about, you know. It's like a, your brain is doing gymnastics learning the Enneagram, because it doesn't go, it's a going against the way that we're just like thrown into this world, like dog eat dog survival, like figure out how to make your life work for you and just like get through it, you know. And but like this is like taking such a deep dive to understanding ourselves as spiritual beings, and like who, like, it's just, it's, it blows my mind, Ian. It really does. So like, how many people in the world do you think are living more enlightened like this versus aren't? Because most of us probably aren't living in tune with the Enneagram. That's why there's a lot of chaos out there.
So, I mean, there's a lot of tools that we can use to develop self-knowledge and self-awareness. So the Enneagram isn't, you know, completely unique, right? But for me as a therapist, it has been the system that has been the most actionable, accessible. It's not, you know, I want people to know that the Enneagram in its most basic sense is pretty easy to understand and to start work on right away. Like, you don't have to read 50 books. You don't have to go to grad school like I did to get a counseling psychotherapy degree. You don't have to do all this stuff. It's really like, oh, I get it. Let's go. So anyway, that's one of the reasons I really love it. If you want to go down the wormhole, there's a lot you can learn from the Enneagram, but you don't have to. You can just get the basics and get going. And that's what I love about my first book, The Road Back to You, if I can say I love it, or the thing I'm most proud, the thing I'm most proud of in both books, in the story of you, I don't make this hard.
You can't, it's a page turner. You can't stop turning the pages, because it's like you're reading about yourself and then you're reading about every other person that you know in the whole world. You're like, oh my gosh, I got to know more.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really gives advice, prescriptions for like, okay, how do we get our story straight? You know what I mean?
And that's what you talk about when you're four steps.
Yes. The four steps. Thank you for bringing that up. It's based on the acronym SOAR, S-O-A-R. So step one is you got to see the story. And so what I encourage people to do is, and you don't have to be Hemingway, but you just, you know, get a piece of paper out, and let's say in 350 words, that's one piece of paper. Okay. Just write down your story, write down and just see it. Like, what happened? What internalized messages did I pick up? What beliefs did I pick up? What fears did I pick up as a little person? What did I misunderstand, and how did it, you know, fuel this broken story that I have, right? So on my journey, I was able to look back and say, oh, I can understand why I became a four, the romantic. You know, I grew up in a very, very broken home. I picked up all kinds of messages like, you're not enough. There's something about you that's off. You know what I mean? You're just different than everybody else. You're a little like, you deserve to be on the aisle of misfit toys. You're just you're a little odd, you know, you're kind of artsy and different than the other kids, you know, on and on and on and on. And again, in a weird way, that helped me understand what I was experiencing as a little kid. But man, when I brought that into adulthood, I can't begin to tell you, especially in my 20s, the trouble that caused me.
Really?
And oh my gosh, yeah. And so when I began to do the work of rewriting my story, I had to sort of go back and go, that you know what isn't, I was going to say, you know, S-H-I-T, but you know, that isn't true. I'm not missing anything. I am a beautiful, unique, not you, a special person. But I don't have to be unique and special to convince everybody of that. And I can learn to dial back some of my, the behaviors that may have helped me, you know, navigate the world as a little person, but now are screwing up my marriage, my relationships, my job, right? On and on and on. So that's C. Then the second is to own the story. And this is a little bit of a tweaker, but, you know, personal growth doesn't happen without a little bit of discomfort, right?
Right.
So we also have to own, like, what is this? How has continuing to live in this story as an adult hurt me and others?
So when you write down the first part, when you write down the C, you write down how you perceive yourself to be.
Yeah. And how, and where did it come from? Like, okay. You know, like, where did it come from? And by the way, there's a workbook for the story of you that comes out in May. Okay. That'll be really helpful for people in this regard. And then, so owning it is like, okay, all right, what does this cost me? Like,
you gotta be brutally honest in this process. You gotta be brutally honest. Write down what the good parts about you and the bad parts about you, and then see it. And now we're gonna own it in our this next step.
Yes, particularly the parts of our story that have hurt us and others, right? Our particular 9 story, 4 story, 1 story. Like, for a 1, they might need to own that, their rigidity and their tendency to be critical of others who don't live up to their high internal standards has hurt their relationship with their children. That, you know, remaking your kid's bed because they didn't do it perfectly sends a bad message to that child about their, you know, capabilities. Right now, it's not like the one gets up in the morning and thinks, I'm going to go ruin my kid's life by remaking their bed all the time or doing their homework for them. It's like, but you see how these broken stories can lead to those kind of dysfunctional, hurtful behaviors?
My sister is a 1, and she always says she has this voice in her head that just, she cannot not hear it. It is always telling her the right way to do it. Like, it's not like she's asking someone to say, what's the right way? Let me go do it. There is a voice in her head that is constantly telling her, this is right and this is wrong, and it is just the way it is. And you know what? Now that you're saying this, that might be why my 4 is even more so, because me not knowing how to do what was right and wrong all the time wasn't her fault. She just was a 1 and knew right and wrong. I felt so inadequate and like I couldn't measure up because I never knew what was right or wrong. And so it's interesting how that who you live with can fuel your number as well on accident.
So in her own, when she does her own step, one of the things she might write down is this had an effect on my siblings.
You know what though? She told me that. And she said, because of her relationship with me, she has a very creative daughter. She now has parented her daughter based on her relationship with me. She's like, it has helped me so much having you as my sister now to realize that my daughter is creative like that too.
So maybe without knowing it, she's already begun to see, own, and rewrite the story. She still has a lot more to do, but that's a good sign that she's already inclined to doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And then awaken really is, how do we awaken to these internalized messages and false beliefs that are causing that we that are part of our broken story? And how do we awaken to when we are beginning to fall back into the old story? Because your old story is really sticky.
It's right there waiting for you.
Oh, yeah. It's like a siren calling you. It's like, come back. Yeah. And,
and
because it's like you don't have to burn very many calories by going back to the old story. The new story requires some effort.
So true. What a great way to put it. The new story, it's like you got to get on the treadmill every day. You got to go work it out. Old story is like, let's just lay in bed and eat Snickers and watch a comfortable movie.
Now, in time, though, so I mentioned earlier that my wife and I are, you know, we're plant-based dieters. We don't use vegan because it's the same thing, but we don't use that term because that term implies what you don't eat versus what you do eat. So we always say, now we're just plant-based people. In the beginning of that journey, it was difficult, but now not at all. And when you rewrite your story in the beginning, it's like, it's a little bit of an uphill climb that's well worth it. But after a while, you begin to believe different things, to rewrite old messages, and you're like, oh, this is getting easier and easier and easier to live out of my new story.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
That's such a good point, because I think so many people are just scared to start because it feels like this mountain is insurmountable. It feels like you'll never be able to climb it. It feels like it's so huge and overwhelming. But then you grab a book like this. Well, you should start with The Road Back to You, and then you grab The Story of You. These are very easy to read, very easy to comprehend. Anyone at any phase of their life can like understand it. It's like you said, it's so easy to start, and you don't have to change your whole life. You just start gaining more understanding of it. And that's what I also loved about The Story of You. You're like, as you just start gaining more understanding, you will just naturally shed your old story. Like, you don't have to like put all this pressure on yourself to change and do a 180. It's like everyone on January 1st, they start their new diet. They're cutting out carbs. They're working out every day. It's going to be this intense, rigorous program to change. And I think people feel that way about mental health and changing their story. It's going to be this very intense, rigorous program that's going to be exhausting. But it's not. Just start with reading these books, and then slowly you'll start shedding your old story. And then one day you'll just be more in your new story than your old story. And that, to me, is peaceful. It doesn't feel so stressful.
The book really encourages over and over again just the importance of self-compassion as you do the work. Because in my experience, most people think that shaming themselves is going to accelerate growth, when in fact it slows it down. Your true self will not emerge. It's afraid of shame. But the part of you that wants to grow, and all of us have that piece of us, it's like self-compassion is like fertilizer. You know, it just helps growth, right? Even though we think to ourselves, it's just being easy on yourself. No, it's not. It's like the fertilizer that helps people to grow. And also, to your point, I think that, you know, we need to realize there are no hacks here. Right. There, you know, there's no bypass. You know, the work is the work. And so we call it work because it is. And so that's just the nature of self-improvement and change. And if you're not willing to do it, then you have to ask yourself, well, am I willing to go on, you know, living in a false story? Because you can't be a true self in a false story, right?
Drop the mic, baby.
Anyway, you've actually led me into rewrite, which is, you know, once you've begun doing the seeing and the owning and the awakening, what happens? You've cleared enough debris out of your life that some of the green shoots of the new story will just start to come up on their own.
Yes.
Like, you know, you'll just start to go, wow, I'm changing. I'm learning how to say no to people if I'm a helper too, in a way that's kind, but it's like, hey, I have my own needs. I can't meet everybody's needs. Or the three might say, just naturally as they do their work, you know what? I can be valued for who I am, not just for what I do and accomplish, for my success, et cetera, right? And just suddenly, like, this stuff just begins to come up, and you'll be amazed at the change that comes about, not because, you know, because you've attacked the underlying premise, and you really begin to say, you're calling BS on that you're not going to co-sign the BS of that underlying story anymore.
Yes. And I think it's so interesting because I know for me as a four, and I think this goes for every number, we're all just trying to create a story of who we are. Like, who are we? And that's what, the story of you, your book.
Right.
It's like we're all trying to label ourselves, to box ourselves, put ourselves in a box of like, this is who I am because this is what happened in my childhood. It made me this way. I went to school. I got this skill. These are my friends. These are like, you know, it's like we put our little parameters around our life and it makes us feel safe. And then we feel like we have an identity. But really, I struggle with a four now because I know that identity is self-constructed and based on a million different things that are all man-made, or not man-made, but just like that I have put in my brain. So sometimes I'm like, well, who am I without any of that? Like, who are we if we're not in our stories? If we say we get through this book and we crush it and we're like, I received this book, I understand it, I'm doing the work, and now I'm just a blank canvas of my soul and myself. But like, who is that?
So that is part of the journey, the work involved in the journey, because one of the reasons that old story has so much allure that it's calling us back is because we're afraid that, you know, at least it's the devil we know. And so you just have to have faith and trust that when you subtract the so many of the lies of your story, that a new you will emerge, right?
You got to have faith that there's going to be, it's not going to be just a blank nothingness where you're going to be a non-existent human who has nothing going on in the world. It's like, oh, like you said, those little green shoots will start popping up that are your truth.
Exactly. And the best expression of who you are.
So you got to have faith.
You got to have and regardless of your religious or spiritual tradition, you know, I oftentimes tell people, just remember, your new self will help your old self to come along with you. You know, it's going to be okay. Like, don't get all wrapped around the axle here. You know, it's like, just remember that this is a process that's very natural. It's very organic, and it will really begin to happen, like I said, organically as you do the work. And you know, you're not going to lose your identity. You're actually going to get in touch with your true self, right? I mean, that's the subtitle of the book, The Story of You. Using, you know, basically it's you know, how the Enneagram can help you become your true self.
So what are true selves? We all have one. We just have to find it. Some of us will in this life and some of us won't. Some of us will do the work and others won't even know that there's work to be done. What are we supposed to be doing here? Like, say we all were able to get in touch with our true selves and we lived in a world of true selves. Like, what is the point? Why are we all, what did we come here to do with our true selves? Like, what are we trying to do on this planet? with all of this true self knowledge if we gain it.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about true self for a second. Like, it's a little bit of a, I don't know, an overused term that people don't really understand or know, but they have an intuition about it, but they couldn't describe it to you very, you know, very clearly. I think we're born our true selves, and then all these stories get thrust on us, and we lose touch with our true essential self. And so the more you rid yourself of the broken stories, the bad, the false beliefs, the negative internalized childhood messages, the more you do that, the more your true self kind of comes out from underneath the weight of that stuff. Because that stuff kind of obscures the true self, right? It weighs it down. And, you know, in my experience, you know, true self isn't something you arrive at one day like a mountaintop and go, I have found my true self. You know, it's just something you kind of begin to live into, and you start to see the fruit, glimmers of your true person. And, you know, I think a true person is someone whose values and mission is aligned with who they are. And
the, you know, discovering. Is that why we come here in our true selves? Because we have a mission?
Well, I mean, I think so. You know, one of my heroes, the great psychiatrist Carl Jung, thought so. And I think that all of us, here's my opinion, regardless of your, again, religious belief, you know, I come from a particular spiritual perspective. And I want to honor the fact that everybody has maybe a different one than I do. But I think one thing they all have in common, perhaps, is that all of us, whether we believe in God, maybe God assigned it, or, you know, however you want to phrase it, I think all of us have an errand.
Mm,
you know, all of
what?
Us.
What is the errand supposed to accomplish? Like, why? And I won't get into this so deeply because this is a whole other conversation. And fours, don't stray away from the hard conversation.
I know. Yeah.
But I do wonder this. Why did we have to come to this existence to do this errand? Why don't we all just stay in this pure place to begin with? Like heaven.
Oh, I think the errand is part of that.
Ooh,
I mean, I think the errand is what gives life meaning.
Do we need to have the life? Why don't we just stay in the cerebral angelic state of being?
Well, because we didn't, and I don't know why. That's above my pay
grade. Give me the answer.
I know, but that, as people like to say, that's above my pay grade. You know, that's beyond my ability to.
Okay, but we have an errand.
I think, you know, I can describe my errand to you very simply.
What is it?
My errand in life that I feel I was assigned, and the gifts that I have would indicate that my mission in life is to help people enter into a deeper conversation with the mystery of their own lives, and to make sense of who they are, that they might move through the world with more happiness, ease, and by having the greatest impact on the world for good, right? So, I mean, everything in my life would point to the fact, all my gifts, all my history would point to that very basic idea. That's why I'm here. And of course, over time, I tweaked that. I think different seasons of life impact that. You know, when I had small children, that impacted it versus now when I have adult children. You know, so, but it's the core essential of that has always remained the same.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay. I want to talk to you forever. I will wrap up. I just want to kind of like wrap this last little thought up. Do you think, so we're born into this life, into families, and like we are shaped by our families. Like you become your number based on like who you are naturally, but then also your environment that you're raised in. Do you think that people would have a different number if they were born into a different family? Like, do you, what, because like, again, eight, a lot of women are looking, are having protection, they're having to protect themselves because they didn't necessarily feel safe in childhood. But like, what if that same person would have been born into a different family where they felt very secure and safe in childhood? Would they have still become an eight? Or so is like the child, is your environment just as important as your natural inclination? Do they work hand in hand? Is it like a 50-50 thing? Or,
well, yeah. So if the answer is yes, I mean, we have a genetic sort of side to us, and we also have an environmental side or a nurture side.
So you could become a different number if you were born into a different environment.
So I'm going to answer that as honestly as I can, which is, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a nature nurture thing, and no one can know the answer to that question because there's no way to test for it. Right. And, maybe you could do it in a sort of a blind study of twins, but even then they're holding it together as some, you know, identical genetic, you know, components. I certainly believe that we would be different if we grew up in different environments, but who the heck knows? I mean, there's no way to test it, right? I can't say to you, okay, well, you know, now you're this age, let's send you back to the crib and see how it goes in a different family, right? So look, just remember that the human person is remarkably complex.
I know.
I mean, wildly complex.
Wildly.
And so there are so many things we can never know. But we can begin to work on the things we do know. And that's really what the exciting piece of the story of you is about, is that we do know that we're born into stories. We do know that there are parts of those stories that are not true, though they helped us as little kids to make sense of experience. You know, they hurt us in adulthood, and we can do something about it. And we can begin that journey by moving through this process. And, you know, you're going to do this process probably over and over again. So it's not like you're going to do it once, but that's called repeated self-reflection. That's how people will grow. It's not like do it once and, you know, I've done the four-stage journey. It's not Amway. You know, it's like, yeah, this is a little bit, you know, it's a little bit trickier than that.
Okay, two questions. Why did you get into the Enneagram?
Well, I was in graduate school studying to be a psychotherapist, came across it after my first year there. It wasn't part of my program. It just was kind of serendipitous. And I was blown away by how accessible it was compared to what I was learning in personality development and personality theory in classes. although those things are very important to know, this was like, man, you don't have to go to grad school to learn a lot about human beings, right? And then, you know, over the years, I went to workshops, I did different stuff, but didn't go all the way down the wormhole until about 10 years ago. I got so excited about it. I wrote my first book, The Road Back to You, in the wake of that. And then a couple of years of thinking and reflecting, I began to realize, man, there's something else to the Enneagram, which is revealing the broken stories. And if you want to experience transformation, you got to change the story. Bottom line, all transformation is story transformation. And that is, in some ways, the whole point of the book.
Oh my gosh, I'm just so jealous of people who get to talk to you all the time. I want to just talk to you forever. Cause like, I would just like, new questions are constantly popping up. But okay, I am so honored that I got to talk to you, have this conversation. You don't know how much this means to me. I mean, you probably do as a four because you are a deep feeler. But like, I just seek talking to people like you. That's why I started this podcast. Like, to piggyback on what I told you originally, I became a country music singer because I wanted to be special and fill that void. But I then transferred it over to podcasting because I always thought all these special people had figured out life or had something that I didn't have. So I started my podcast so I could interview the special people and figure out what they have that I don't, because I needed to know the secret to being special. And then I interview all these people in my podcast who are amazing like yourself. And I realize we're all just humans. We are all on this journey. Nobody is more special than anyone else. We are all uniquely special. And like, obviously you're told that you hear that stuff, but like, I actually believe it now after interviewing the most incredible people. So that's why I started my podcast, was to get into special people's brains.
Oh, that's great.
I know. And so it's such an honor to talk to you. Like, you don't understand how much this means to me. So you are like the guru of all the gurus for the Enneagram. This was so awesome. I always wrap up with leave your light. And it's basically super open-ended question. What do you want people to know?
The first thing that comes to my mind is that they're beautiful. I really want people to know that at their core, they are filled with goodness. And that the journey of life is actually, part of the journey of life is learning to believe that's true. Pretty basic.
No, profound. All the big profound things in life are actually pretty simple. It's just like that story that started you on your Enneagram journey. When you were in like a sobriety meeting, someone asked you to share your story. You shared it and they said something like, are you living in the right story? And that sent you on...
Yeah.
Journey.
Yeah. That one question.
That stayed with you forever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was my first 12-step sponsor. And he was old, much older. He was 70. I was 28. He just said, Ian, have you ever wondered if you're living in the wrong story? And it was a challenge to me. You know, it was like, dude, do you ever wonder if you're living in the wrong story? It's like, and I was like, wait a minute.
That's an option?
Exactly. And it really threw me back on my heels and did really kind of frame out the next bunch of years of my life.
Did that one question though get you your wheels turning, that like, just because you were born into one story doesn't mean you have to stay in it? Is that the first time you had that revelation?
Yes. But it took me, you know, I was young, dumb, and, you know, just trying to overcome a drug and alcohol addiction. You know, I had a lot on my plate. So, I mean, you know, it's not like I went home and I, you know, spent a lot. I was just trying to stay, you know, keep my nose clean. But, you know, it seems to me now that it really, you know, like when a question like that sticks, it's like a, you know, like a piece of sand in your eye. A grain of sand. It's like, oh, you're always kind of like aware of it. It's there. And it really wasn't until, you know, this book, The Story of You, that I was like, okay, I got to write about this. I got to really explore it. And, but I'd been kind of thinking about it for decades, you know?
It was in there. It was part of your calling. It's part of your true self. Hey, thank you so much, Ian, for joining me. It is so awesome to get to talk to you in person, like, well, on Zoom, but like personally like this. Your books are incredible. Everyone get The Road Back to You, and then definitely get The Story of You. Honestly, you need both books. They are just like such incredible books to helping you unlock yourself and your family and your friends and all those around you. And where can everyone find you, Ian?
Yeah, so they can go to my website, Ian Morgan Cron, and I'll spell it because it's a weird name, IanMorganCron. They can learn about some courses I have called Discovering You, another one called the, I can't remember my other one. Anyway, there's another one. I got a lot of stuff going on. They can, learn about my books. They can learn about my Enneagram assessment, which is called the IQ9, which can help you find out what's your Enneagram type.
You can actually take the Enneagram test on your website, right?
Yes, and that's just one data point. That's not necessarily the answer of all answers, but you take that and then you read a little bit and you figure out if it's true, blah, blah, blah. And then on socials, at Ian Morgan Cron across all the channels.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, Ian. You are an amazing human being and you are just such a blessing to this world. Thank you for doing all this hard work and sharing it with us. We are all benefiting from it and I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a great day.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.